Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you read together with me the title of our sermon on the screen? Who owns your vineyard? From the gospel reading just read this morning, please hear again these words. Jesus told this parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, built up a watchtower, rented it out to vine growers, and went on a journey. When the harvest time came, he sent his servants to receive his produce. But the vine growers took his servants, beat one, killed another, stoned a third, and afterward he sent his son to them, saying, "Surely they will respect my son." But they took his son, cast him out of the vineyard, and they killed him. Therefore, when the owner of that vineyard comes, he will bring those wretches to a wretched inn and will rent out the vineyard to other vine growers. Please turn in your handout that was given to you. We'll follow the sermon outline today as we ask this question, who owns your vineyard? Now, today, of course, is Reformation Sunday. And we'll take a look a little later in the sermon of how the Reformation of the Church began some 500 years ago. But right now, we want to talk about vineyards. I remember the first time in my life where I encountered large fields of vineyard. In fact, when you look up the word vineyard in the dictionary, you find this definition: a plantation or a large field filled with grapevines. This is when I was a professor in Edmonton, but I was a guest teacher at a school near Niagara Falls, Ontario. In fact, this week I just got off the phone with Alan Schellenberg. He's doing a Lutheran Foundation presentation there, and he says, you wouldn't believe the wonderful smell of all the grapes which are being harvested now on the grapevines. And I said, funny you should mention that, Alan, because the sermon today is about vineyards. So some 25 years ago, my first time in that area, after I taught all day and went on long bike rides and long runs through acres and acres of fields filled with fresh grapes. And one day, a vineyard owner came out to me and brought a handful of these luscious grapes and let me have some. And then he explained to me that if these grapes that are going in the vineyard are not taken care of, soon they will become completely worthless. The vineyards must be taken care of carefully. In Jesus' day, the vineyard was the people of Israel. In Martin Luther's day, the vineyard was the corrupt church of his time. Today, the vineyard is our church and our personal lives. We're going to talk about each of those vineyards today. In Jesus' day, Luther's day, and our day today. First, let's return to the vineyard parable Jesus told in Matthew 21. Notice your sermon outline. Come with me, and now we're going to walk up the steps to the high watchtower in the middle of the vineyard. From this perch, look, can you see? Acres and acres of grapes, rows and rows of valuable grapes ready to take to the market. For 5 years, we workers have worked this vineyard, and it's almost time to sell them and make for ourselves a great profit. But then we remember the law of ownership. The law of ownership says that after 5 years of our labor, 1/3 of the entire profit goes back to the owner. Now, we don't want to share such a big profit. We want the profit to ourselves. So from the tower, we see a servant of the master coming. And we know what he's come back to. He's come back to get his owner's share of the profit. But we see him, we run down, and we beat him, and we send him away. The next day, another servant comes, and we stone him. This time, we kill him. And in just a few days, we look out from the observation tower, and we see another figure coming. We recognize him by the way he walks. He's a chip off the old block. He's the owner's son. We know what he wants. So we get down from the tower and we kill him. And we figure, now the vineyard is ours. All of the prophets belong to us. Now, as we said earlier, in Jesus' day, the vineyard was a common picture for the people of Israel. They were the vineyard. God was the vineyard owner. But the religious people of the people of God at that time were rebellious against God. The religious leaders, called the Pharisees and others, they indeed claimed by word and deed, "We own the vineyard. Nobody tell us what to do. We are in control. The kingdom is ours." So in the past, God sent to them his servants, like various Old Testament prophets, and even John the Baptizer. But they would not listen to them. They rejected them. They killed them. They stoned them. And then who did God send to the people to bring the truth of his message, that the vineyard belonged to him? Who did he send? He sent his son, Jesus. By telling this parable to the religious leaders, who would later crucify him, Jesus was foretelling his own death, but he also was foretelling the coming of the new Christian church. Because he says God will take the vineyard from those people who won't listen and give them to a new people who will come to him in faith. Listen to what the parable says. The owner will bring those wretches to an end and rent out the vineyard to other vine growers. In Jesus' day, it was time for a reformation. It was time for a change. In Martin Luther's day, the vineyard also needed reforming. The vineyard was the church of Luther's day. And what was going on? Well, the church of Luther's day was in horrible shape. Its leaders were corrupt. They continually sought ways to get money from the dear people to build cathedrals and line the pocket of rich popes. They even invented a way to convince people to pay for their forgiveness of sins, called the indulgences. People were being taught to depend on their own good works and their own good lives instead of Christ's sacrifice for them on the cross. And finally, the teachings of human beings were elevated over the truth of God's word. The issue was, who owns the vineyard? Who's in control of the church? The church leader's answer was, the vineyard belongs to us. We are in control. It was the same answer given by the tenants of the vineyard in the parable. The same answer given by the Pharisees of Jesus' day. We own the kingdom. The church is ours. So, over 500 years ago, God raised up a special man, a servant, a man who was a theological professor and a pastor, a priest, named Martin Luther. And he led the reformation of the church, a call to return to the basic truths of the Holy Scripture, a call to turn away from the teachings of man and back to the Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And my dear friends, let me ask you a question I ask the children. Does this reformation still need to happen today? Let me ask it again. Does this reformation need to happen today? Yes, it does. That's why every year at this time, we have Reformation Sunday. It doesn't take long to look at the shape of the greater church in the world and say, my God, what have God's people done to the church? We need to be reformed. So far, we've spoken of the vineyard in Jesus' parable. We've spoken of the vineyard, which was Israel in Jesus' day. We've spoken of the church, which was the vineyard in Luther's day. But what is the vineyard for us today? As our sermon title asks, and would you read it again off the screen? Who owns your vineyard? Come with me once again. Climb up the steps with me to the observation watchtower in the vineyard. What do you see? The vineyard is our church. The vineyard is our personal lives. But who owns the vineyard? There are only two possible answers. You own the vineyard, or God owns the vineyard. Let's talk about our homes and our personal lives. Is God the Lord of your time, your plans, your finances, your career, or are you? How important are the truths of God's word for you? Who sets the agenda for you and your family? The timeless truths of God's word, or the ever-changing opinions of this sinful world? Who owns the vineyard? Let's talk about today's church. Upon what basis are teachings being taught these days? Upon what basis are decisions being made? Upon the truth of God's word or the opinions of men? Sad to say, not every church today that calls itself Christian is indeed centered in Jesus Christ and His Holy Scripture. But there's no room for any self-righteousness on our part. And by the way, if you pat your head too often saying, I am so wonderful and everybody else is so bad, this is what happens. There's no room to pat ourselves on the head. How are you and I doing as the people of God called Trinity Lutheran Church? Are you seeking to be a light in the world of darkness? Are you reaching out to people in your community with God's love in Jesus Christ? Are you reaching out to people who are hurting and need help? Are each of us seeking every way we can to make this house of God a place of welcome for all people, no matter what the shape of their lives? Or are we just happy to come here once a week, hear a sermon, sing a song, and eat a cookie? Yes, our congregation and every Christian congregation is in need of reformation. Today, God calls us to return the ownership of the vineyard to Him. And when in prayer we individually ask God to change or reform us, when we ask Him to get us out of our old, comfortable, and sometimes useless patterns of living, He will. But you have heard, haven't you, of the seven last words of the church? The seven last words spoken before the doors were closed forever and the building was sold as a high-rise condominium in Richmond. Just imagine that. The seven last words of the church are, "We never tried it that way before." Who owns the vineyard? Who owns the church? Who owns your life? What's the definition of an owner? Obviously, the owner is the person who pays the price for ownership. Now, listen to these Bible passages that tells us who paid the price. 1 Corinthians 6:20. "For you have been bought with the price. Therefore, glorify God with your body." 1 Corinthians 7:23, "You were bought with a price. Do not become the slaves of men." And what is the price spoken of? Look, won't you? Here is the price spoken of. And listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Paul writes, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that through His poverty you might become rich." Our Lord paid the price for our salvation. He became poor to the point of death upon the cross, that we might be His forever and receive from Him the very riches of God, forgiveness of sins and life and salvation. My friends, one more time, would you read it with me? Who owns your vineyard? It's time to settle the issue. Come back with me one more time to the vineyard. Come back with me one more time to the vineyard tower. So now we must climb the steps of this watchtower one last time. Come to the top of the vineyard tower and look out. But today we're going to the vineyard after Easter. From the heights of the tower, we see somebody coming. Can you see him? Who is he? Well, he looks like a chip off the old block. He looks like and acts like his father. It's the vineyard owner's son. Has he come back to give us what we deserve because of our rebellion? No, he hasn't. We look closely at the son of the vineyard owner and we see the nail marks in his hands. We see sincere love in his eyes. He has come back from the dead. And he has come back for you and for me. And now, listen to St. Paul's words, telling us why the Son has come back for us. Romans 5. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. And God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we are saved from the wrath of God through him. And we are reconciled to God. And we are saved by his life. My friends, this is the good news. This is the gospel that changes us, that reforms us. Every day is Reformation Day. Every day is a new opportunity to know and to love God and know his forgiveness. Every day is an opportunity to return to our Lord and say, Lord, you are the owner. I am your vineyard. In the name of Jesus, God's people said, Amen. Amen.